Praise the Lord, everyone. This is Prophet Conrad Bowman of Transformation Ministries, and coming to you from the Prophet's house, hallelujah, and just putting everything away with prayer and in a time of prayer. And right now, if you hear the music in the background, it's Deeper, Lord, by David Nicole Binion, and just want to set the atmosphere. But tonight, in lesson four of your manuals, I want to welcome you guys, all my sons of Issachar. Welcome to the Sons of Issachar School of the Prophets. We're in full gear now, and really want to come to you tonight about prophetic protocol and deliverance ministry in the prophetic and the laying on of hands. But join with in prayer right now. Father God, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, let's be led by your Spirit. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, God, for what you're doing and what you have yet to do. Father God, I thank you, God, that you said, God, that you've breathed us out, God, you're taking us. God, everything we need, God, is on the front porch. We just need to believe it, prophesy to ourselves, and decree it. I believe your word, and God, I believe your people believe your word. Father, we stand on your word. We thank you for great manifestation. We thank you for great healings. We thank you for great breakthroughs, God. I decree it, God, even now for the people of God, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise, Father. For the devil is horrified, and God, you be all the more glorified. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor. And I thank you, God, for a flow of your anointing, God, that destroys the yoke. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. We want to start there. And I want you all to come away with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's go there, shall we? Hallelujah. And it reads as follows. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Didn't say that you weren't about nothing. Said that you are nothing if you don't have love. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Often we get into this and we talk about what love is, but we need to understand that the driving force behind deliverance ministry and behind ministry period is love. And then on, we're going to talk about in prophetic circles what is known as the prophetic wheel. And that's when a prophet hits a taps a place where you feel like you can just go for hours and go all day and all night just prophesying the word of the Lord. And it takes a minute for you to really come down. That's the prophetic wheel. That's when you're moved with compassion by the people and the needs of the people, the weight that you feel. Hallelujah. But later on, it talks about here, in verse 11, this is where I want the people of God to come up at. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Often we negate that to just growing up. But really that word is talking about growing up into a mature man in the word, in the spirit. Because some of us need to come up off the breast. It's time to put the Similac away. You are a full grown man in the spirit. It's been how many years, 20 years, 10 years, 15 years in your walk with God, and you still want to hear about being saved. You still want to hear about repentance. Nothing's wrong with those levels, but God's trying to get you past those things into righteousness, into holiness, into sanctification, which is a process of being processed into the glory. God wants to move you into those stages, but you've got to be ready. And some of you are ready. It's time to take that step forward. You're bigger than that. God's expecting more from you, because to whom much is given, much more is required. God's telling some of you, you can't sit underneath that baby word anymore. It's time to come higher. Time to come higher. Amen. And all you're going to get from me is apostolic and prophetic thrust. So if you don't want to be pushed to purpose, then you don't need to be watching this. But if you got a promise and a prophecy and a real word spoken over your life, you know that you got to reach your destination on time. And I'm going to make sure that you do. Hallelujah. But let's talk about some prophetic protocols. Let's talk about some different points here that I've seen in ministry many, 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 many times. But just want to share this insight with you. As we said, the first is love. You got to be moved with compassion, because people can pick up your false motive. When you don't have love, people can see it. They see it displayed, how you serve, what you say, all that stuff. They see it in your carriage. Next pointer is you must have a rich, and I say rich, prayer life. You must be able to dig out in prayer, must be able to plow the fallow ground in prophetic intercession. Now, intercession is one thing. Intercession is I consider it to be a high call. God calls you to be an intercessor. He's calling you to do something that he does on a consistent basis, and that's to stand in the gap for the people of God. But when you're doing prophetic intercession, see, intercession can be prophetic. And there are many intercessors that we've gotten confused with being prophets, because you can tap a place. An intercessor or a psalmist or a musician can tap a place and prophesy. Doesn't mean they're a prophet. But a lot of times, that's how a lot of us prophets get stirred, through intercession and the prophetic, and you come out of that with your ministry. But not everybody is like that. Not everyone does that. So we understand that intercession can be prophetic, but prophetic intercession is different. Prophetic intercession is when you have to constantly, sometimes I hit a place in prayer where God will tell me to speak the word. God will bring a face up in front of me, and I have to declare the word of the Lord over that individual's life in prayer, what the word of the Lord is for their life. And that brings me to the next point. You have to have a strong biblical base. You have to know the word of God if you're going to be a prophet. There's no such thing as a prophet you don't know the word of God. Because you know the word, what are you prophesying off of? Because inspiration alone leads you right into different divination. And I don't mean inspiration by the Holy Ghost. I mean your own level of belief, your own inspiration. It leaves us wanting. We need the word of God so that we don't hear a bunch of prophecies about Skittles and candy corn and money and house and cars and things you've seen in the spirit. Oh, I see a bubble. I see it. It's going to pop. Oh, God. Are you serious? Really? It's time for us to come away from the spooky, goofy prophetics and get this thing back to what it's about. Amen. Somebody, Lord, help me, Jesus. Lord, y'all pray for prophet tonight, because I am on fire. I'm on fire. Next point is you have to speak when God says for you to speak. You can't speak out of turn. There's no such thing as, well, I felt like saying it because da-da-da-da. You just threw somebody's life off the continuum of time, space, and eternity by you just saying that one word. And you know, if you got to give an account for idle words, think about how many times you got to give an account. How many times you said, thus saith the Lord. Amen, somebody. So you got to speak when God says speak. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't prophesy. Don't make something up. Well, I kind of see. No, don't kind of see. Be sure. Be sure. It's okay to be sure. And it's okay to make mistakes. But make mistakes while you're learning and growing. Don't get on no major platform making mistakes, because you're about to be something that's going to injure the body of Christ. Next point is prophets are not the Bible. Stop pulling. Tell your neighbor, stop pulling on me. Somebody asked me one time, Prophet, what's the word of the Lord? And I don't refuse that. You're supposed to ask me that. But not every day. Not every hour. Not every time you see me. Can you say hi first? Lord have mercy. Get in the word. Get your own relationship so you can hear what the Spirit is saying to you. Because there's too many prophetic prostitutes in the church. Too many. Don't be a prophetic hoe. That's so irritating. Pulling and pulling and pulling. You got a word. You got a scavenging for a word. Just hunting for. You got a word. What's the word? Is the word written in my cereal bowl? I was eating alphabet soup and I just saw the word power in my soup. Is what God's saying to me? Really? Do we really have to go there? Next pointer, obedience is crucial. 1 Samuel 15:22 through 23 talks about the disobedience of Saul and how he was supposed to really kill King Agag and the whole country, the whole city, that whole thing. And he's saving stuff and leaving stuff over and leftovers. And then he want to make a sacrifice about it. So thinking God is pleased. And I can just go up and sacrifice. And Samuel said, no. I hear the bleeding of sheep in my ears. Does God want more sacrifice than that he wants obedience? God is requiring this year your obedience in this place in God in 2012, not just your year. It's a place in God. It's a place in the spirit realm. It's a place of promise. You got to get there. You got to get there. Kill everything that threatens. When God said kill it, cut it out. Because it's threatening your nation. It's threatening the growth of something. And it was because those people were not taken out by Saul that nation was able to rise up again and threaten the destiny of Esther. Come on, somebody. What you don't kill tomorrow stands up and persecutes you today. Oh, God. Let's fix that, because I think I just said it backwards. Amen, somebody. What you don't kill today comes and persecutes you tomorrow. Come on, somebody. The next crucial note here is the prophetic should always draw people to God and not us. It's not about you. It's not about your ministry. It's not about how fast you speak in tongues. It's not about how well you hoop. It's not about any of that. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. It should always draw people to God. Prophetic, that's the whole purpose of the ministry, so people can hear and experience God again. Come on, somebody. Next, no divinatory prophetics. I call it ghetto stank prophetics. Don't prophesy me the obvious. The Lord is telling me you're African American. That's not a revelation. And don't find out somebody's business and then go prophesy to them. You know they're on food stamps. They done bought you all this food, and then they fix it for you. And then next word you got is, the Lord is telling me you need to come on food stamps, honey. I know, you know, you fed me real good. No, get a real word. Stop operating in that low-level stuff. I can't stand that. That ain't God. That ain't never been God. Just because you know my business don't mean you can prophesy to my business. Get a revelation from the Lord. You're being familiar. You're being common. You want to rule. And some of y'all, some folk, you got to take out of the prophetic office, because some folk just got a boss hog, braggadocious spirit. And got a mask in every false motive. Every false prophet, every false intent, every false agenda. He's bringing it open. He's exposing it. And to the prophets, here's a keynote for the prophets. Next point, be a prophet. Don't be a pimp. Don't be prostituting the people so you can have money. That's not what this is about. That's why part of the way God had me to open it, when God says for you to do something for free, that means there's a place of growth that's about to happen in your ministry. You better wake up and realize, though, you won't have one by the time you need a ministry. Oh, God. So, open it up. Do what God say do, but make sure it's God. Yes, the anointing costs, but there are some times when God says, hey, I just want to bless the people. We know it takes money to run ministry, but it also takes a heart to run ministry and over God's people. Come on, somebody. You can't throw people away. Next thing, your Lord help. Your words must carry weight. I'm so sick of people getting up and prophesying, and there's no weight to your words. And you haven't really touched the real prophetic unless you got to the place of prophesying in first person anyhow. Where it becomes, I the Lord am saying, and did it. You don't have to always say, thus saith the Lord, but there are times, if we don't ever hear it come out of you, I question whether you're a real prophet or not. Because it has to come out of your mouth that God is speaking, and this stuff ain't you, and you just, you, I saw, I heard, the Lord told me. Some of the Lord told me is not the Lord. It's time to step up in faith and really prophesy. Prophesy, prophet, prophesy. And next, your words got to carry weight. They got to manifest. They got to come to pass. And if they don't come to pass, it's because the person's heart changed. I tell them all the time, my workers and everyone that works with me, this, that, and I preach this, that the spoken word can change. The written word, the logos, never changes, but the rhema word can change based upon a heart condition. Look at Jonah. Look at Nineveh. Look at that example. Look at King Hezekiah. Come on, somebody. Got 15 years added on to his life, but earlier God was saying, get your house in order because you finna die. You're going to die today. But because of his heart change, God's instructions for that mantle change. And you got to make sure that your heart is fixed on God, because if it changes, your instructions have changed. Next, don't jump into someone else's flow when they're prophesying. Come on, somebody. Don't jump in their flow, or you'll be nothing more than a prophecy pirate. I've experienced this. There was a young man that was sick. I was at a cookout, and God had me speak to him that he was healed. I didn't know he was sick. I was just being obedient. This man had suffered from HIV for years. But right in the middle of me really flowing, I got that word out, but me, right in the middle of me flowing, another prophet jumped in front of me, had the same, come to find out they had the same disease, and tried to snare this person back into their old lifestyle that they want healing from. And just because you ain't healed don't mean that God ain't going to heal this person. And thank God, 2 months later, that person got healed of HIV from that prophetic word. Didn't lay hands. God's prophetic word was a word of deliverance, my God, and shattered that word HIV, shattered that word called AIDS, and healing was branded over his life. It was like, the doctor said, it was like he never had it. It's not dormant. They can't find any trace of it. That's God. He's still doing it today. I'm a witness. I'm a living witness. He'll do it if you trust him. If you trust him. Hallelujah. Next, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And we say this out of the word of God so wrong. I heard so many people say, the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet, so you got to submit to me. That ain't what that means. That means that your spirit is submitted underneath your authority. That means that, because when we first get in the prophetic, you're burning up. Ooh, I got a word. I got a word. I got a word. I'm going to explode. Jesus, ooh, I got, Lord, help me. I got a word. No, you have self-control. And sometimes God will use somebody else to help them along in prophetic ministry and bring them along. You can't be a hog about it. You got to be listening. It's all in listening to the voice of the Lord. So you're in tune and in touch with what God wants you to do at every step, at every measure, at every heartbeat. Hallelujah. Another thing, don't grab a prophet when they are, these are just tidbits and hints and helping you out with prophetic ministry. You're going to see more in video too about deliverance ministry, but don't grab a prophet when they are in mid-flow, because you don't know by touching them, throwing them off, what kind of thing you're going to incur on your life, what you're going to receive. There was a prophet that was prophesying against a house. And the pastor didn't like the word, so he had the men, the other sons, was trying to sit the prophet down and covered up his mouth and anything. But not only did that word come to pass, but every person that touched that prophet, their ministry was sat down. Break-ins happened in the ministry. Building caved in. I tell my people, God's still dealing with me. Don't run up to hugging me. Ooh, prophet. Oh, prophet, I want to touch you. Oh, if I got to just touch the hem of your... Stop playing. Stop tripping, because God could be dealing with me about something, and you touching me is taking virtue from me at that time. It's taking attention that I need with just me and Jesus, and based upon your touch is whether or not I'm supposed to speak a blessing or speak a curse. Ask Samuel. Samuel coming into the people of God's presence, they had to ask him, have you come in peace today? Because we know you can speak a word and we all be just fire, just be coming down from heaven. That's in 1 Samuel. You can see that. Destruction will come. They had to ask Samuel, have you come in peace? Samuel, I don't know why people think Samuel is a punk. Samuel is a gangster. Meekness ain't weakness, honey. Meekness is power under control. I could tear you up, but I'm going to pray for you. And that's worse than me beating you up. Because the one thing you don't want to see a Christian do is fall on their knees. They get on their face, it's over. You better submit. and repent. Another keynote here is be very careful when predicting or prophesying about marriages and pregnancies, because things happen and you got to be led by the Lord. That's just like trying to get somebody up out of a wheelchair. There's so many invariables in that. So if you really didn't hear God, don't open your mouth, because you'll throw someone's destiny off. So many divorces have happened because somebody said, some fool said, I think the Lord told me that you was my husband, you was my wife. You better know what God said. God will confirm his word over and over and over again if it's him. If it's not, there's no proof in the pudding. Next, when receiving prophecy, if the word is off, cordially let them know that you don't receive it. It's okay. We like to tell people, no, you can't tell them that because it might come to pass. If it comes to pass, it comes to pass. But if it's way out of left field, I can't receive it. I can't even walk it out. Don't shelve prophecies that aren't from God, because they'll begin to accumulate like dust. And all of a sudden, you start walking out stuff God never said. Well, I didn't receive that word, but you didn't cast it down either. Words are living organisms. They go here and there. They live. They're alive. And if you don't know how to corral those words or take charge of those words, even things you say out of your mouth, words are so powerful. Forget it just being prophetic. Words come to pass, just you speaking them. Words are prophetic in nature. So you have to be careful what is coming out of your mouth and what's spoken over your life. Jesus. Now, here's another one. If the prophecy is on, walk it out to the T. Because if it doesn't come to pass, it's not the prophet's fault. Sometimes you got to, some folk are blaming. I remember I heard one time, this thing coming to pass in my life because of prophets. And they prophesied this to me and it didn't come to pass. Well, did you walk it out? Are you reliant on the prophet, or the prophecy, or God? I don't care who say what. I still got to go back at the end of the day and present it to the Lord. God, is this what you said? How can I walk it out, God? How can I walk it in your will? Is this your will for me? Because some stuff being prophesied and it's not God's will. It ain't even God. Next, visions and dreams. Unless the Lord really deals with you strongly in visions and dreams and you're a dreamer of dreams, don't go using that in the prophetic. Because you'll end up calling something wrong that isn't wrong, and you'll be wrong. You'll be shown to be in the wrong. Because 90% of what you go through in life comes back up in your soulless realm and up in your mind. And it becomes, your spirit is like a recycle bin. You got to be careful. Because if God ain't dealing with you, the enemy can send you dreams. Oh, God, you can send you dreams based on your heart's desire. You got to be careful. And oftentimes, the next point we're dealing with, visions are sometimes more reliable than dreams. Based upon who it is and what vision it is and what you're encountering. Because sometimes God sends you visions right there on the spot because of something in your dream, something going on. Either vice versa. He'll send you a dream because you don't want to receive the vision, or he'll send you a vision because you don't want to receive the dream you had. So God will deal with us often strongly about that. But I want you to come back with me for video two, when we're dealing now about prophetic principles of deliverance ministry. Amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. Glory to God.